we are together today for the first time, if you're hearing me for the first time today, you can tell that there's something weird with my voice. Let me explain. 20 years ago, I suffered an injury to my voice that left it very small and painful to use, and so I depend very much on the microphone. I hold it real close, they crank it up, and I can be heard. Is it working okay?
Yes.
Great. So, it was a very traumatic injury for me. When it happened to me, I was a pastor and a worship leader, and so I was catapulted into crisis professionally, family, relationships, health, mentally, emotionally, and it's been a pretty intense walk, pretty intense journey. Never planned it, but through what God has given me in seeking after Him, I started writing books of just the things that God was giving me that were sustaining me in my darkness. And so I'm just grateful that I can leave something with you that's of a more enduring deposit than just one shot on a Sunday morning. So the books are $5 each this morning. You'll never find that price anywhere else. And if you can't afford the $5, it's my gift to you. Help yourself. Allow me, please, to sow into your life. So I'm going to share some things this morning that are the overflow of my journey in God, and I trust that something will be a blessing to you. How many would be open to just one word from heaven that would kindle your heart today?
Yes.
All we need is one word. Open your hands. Holy Spirit, come. Lord, just a word from your lips and everything changes for us. Because you are the living word, and we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And let your word come to us today, now we ask, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's begin, please, with Hebrews chapter 12. If you're taking notes this morning, you can put a title on this message, Jesus the Consummate Author. Hebrews 12. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, what the writer's referring to in that cloud of witnesses, a sampling, he's been talking in chapter 11 about the heroes of the faith, Noah, Moses, David, Abraham, Jacob, the heroes. As a sampling, those that have gone before us are a cloud of witnesses, and I used to think that they were like leaning over the banisters of heaven, watching our lives, and saying to us, we're watching you. But I realize now, they're not witnesses to our lives. They're witnesses to the grace of God. They're witnesses to the goodness of God. Their lives are a story that are a witness to the faithfulness of God. They declare with their witness, I walked a journey in God. I went through darkness. I went through fire. I went through flood. I went through hell. I couldn't understand it. I didn't know where it was going. I couldn't couldn't see what was ahead, but I held to his word. I held to his hand. I gave him my love. I worshiped him. I gave myself to holiness and to righteousness. I walked in the way of truth. And somehow he brought me through the thing, and he has shown himself faithful. I held to his promise, and I give witness today. He is a good God. He is a faithful God. He holds true to his word. You can hold to his promise because he's good to his promises. And now there is a cloud of witnesses that have gone before, and they want to say to us this morning, walk in truth, walk in goodness, walk in faithfulness, hold to his mercy, hold to his hand. He's a good God. He's a compassionate God. He's a merciful God. He's a faithful God. My life is a witness. Take it from me. You can trust him. You can walk with him, and he will finish your story if you hold to his hand. They are witnesses to the goodness of God.
Amen.
And I want in that cloud. I want to be one of those in the cloud that when the story's finished being written, I have a testimony to another generation. You can trust him. You can hold to his word. Walk with him. He'll finish what he started in your life. And the scripture says it's a great cloud of witnesses. The word great in the original language does not mean significant. It means great in quantity. It's a numerical number. And so it's saying there's a whole lot of folks gone before us that have proven the faithfulness of God. And now I want in that cloud too. I want the same kind of testimony. So great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, in my Bible, I have a New King James Bible. In my Bible, it will put in italics any word that does not actually appear in the original language that's been added to help us understand the sense. And so in my Bible, when it says the author and finisher of our faith, the word our is in italics. It actually is not present in the original text. So if we were to give an accurate verbatim translation, we would say, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Jesus is the author of faith. Faith is his brainchild. He is the mastermind of faith. He has conceived faith. He has originated and designed faith. As the author of faith, he has written the binary code of faith. He understands how faith works because he created it. He conceived it and made it. So if you want faith, go to the guy that made it. Faith resides in Christ. It doesn't occur on the earth in its native form. You've got to go to heaven to get faith. You got to go to the source himself. He is the originator, the creator, the author of faith. I want to talk about Jesus, the author, this morning. Come with me now to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, and if you have a red letter edition Bible, that is, a Bible that has the words of Jesus in red letters, what I'm about to say is going to really pop out at you. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, the very first words out of Jesus' mouth when he comes to John. John has this powerful encounter, face-to-face encounter with the Master, and Jesus has a whole lot of stuff to say to John. And the very first words out of the Master's mouth in verse 8 and verse 11, and verse 11 is this: I am the Alpha and the Omega. He's speaking to John in Greek. In the Greek language, Alpha is the first letter of the alphabet, and Omega is the last letter of the alphabet. If he had been speaking to John in English, he would have said, I am the A and the Z. If he had been speaking in Chinese, he would have said, I'm the Chong and the Chang. No, I don't know what the letters are, but if he had been whatever language, Hebrew or whatever language he would have been speaking in, the point is, he says, I'm the first letter of the alphabet, I'm the last letter of the alphabet, and I'm every letter in between. And when he comes to John with this statement, it's so important to Christ that he says it twice to him at the outset of the book, and then at the conclusion of the book, he says it two more times to him. Four times in the book, Jesus is emphasizing to John, John, I am the Alpha and the Omega. There's something important about this, John, that I want you to pay attention. I'm coming to you as the Alpha and the Omega. As the Alpha and Omega, Jesus says, I am the very essence of the stuff that comprises a word. He says, I am the Word. I am the living Word. And I'm the very essence of what constitutes word. Furthermore, as the Alpha and Omega, I am the arranging of words into sentences, because I am the truth. Furthermore, I am the stringing together of sentences into stories, because I am the author. So when Jesus says to John, I am the Alpha and Omega, he is coming to John as the author. It's an important point in the book of Revelation, because in this book, Jesus is authoring several things. Well, for starters, he's authoring the book of Revelation. Somebody says, well, I thought John was the author of the book. Well, not really. John, I'd call him the transcriber of the book, but Jesus is the author of the book of Revelation. He is the Alpha and Omega. There's another book here in this book, in chapter 10, Revelation chapter 10. John is given this little book by an angel. The angel says, I want you to eat the book, and it represents the message that John has given to trumpet to the world. And so Jesus is the author of that little book that John eats. You say, well, why do you say Jesus is the author? Because he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. When you come to chapter 20, there's what they call the books of judgment. Jesus says that men will be judged for their works based on what's written in the books. So there's a record in heaven of our lives. Jesus is the author of the books of judgment. Furthermore, Revelation chapter 20 talks about the book of life. Jesus is the author of the book of life. You say, well, why do you say that, Bob? Because he's the Alpha and the Omega. When your name gets written in the book of life, Jesus himself is the one who writes your name in the book of life. There's another book in the Revelation that Jesus has authored. It's called a scroll in chapter 5. It's a scroll that's I believe it's conceived by the Father, authored by the Son, and now here's a theory, is it possibly sealed by the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit, we know the Holy Spirit's the one who seals us, Ephesians chapter 1. If sealing is the business of the Holy Spirit, maybe the seven spirits of God are those that have sealed this scroll with seven seals. With every seal that is unlocked or opened by Christ, it looses activity of the Holy Spirit to transition this planet into the age to come. So Jesus has written this scroll. You say, well, on what authority, Bob, are you telling us that Jesus is the author of that scroll? On the authority of his words himself. I am the Alpha and the Omega. It's quite the scroll. I mean, the living creatures, the seraphim, that serve at the throne of God. They stand before God. They've got eyes everywhere. They gaze on the glory of God. And the seraphim, the living creatures, are able to look at God with no sunglasses, with no veil, with no separation. They are able to gaze directly at the throne of God. And yet Revelation 5 verse 3 says they cannot look at that scroll. Jesus, what kind of stories do you write? He is an incredible author, and he knows how to write good stories. I want to commend to you today the author, Jesus Christ. He comes to John and he says, John, I am the author. And the reason this is so significant for John is about 90 years old at the time. He's on the island of Patmos. He's a captive. And Jesus comes to him 90-ish. He's around that age. And Jesus says, in essence, I'm about to write a new chapter with your life. There is no record that Jesus has ever used John in a prophetic ministry. And at 90 years of age, Jesus is going to catapult him into a whole new avenue of ministry, and he's going to become a prophetic voice to all generations. John, you're 90 years old, you're sitting in Patmos, and I think John has been thinking to himself, I think it's time for me to check out. I think he's just about finished with me. I think it's somebody else's turn. And Jesus comes to him at 90 and says, wrong. I'm going to write a whole new chapter with your life. And in fact, John, this last chapter of your life is going to be the most powerful chapter of your life. What I'm going to do through you now is going to have more impact in the nations than anything you've done before. Beloved, you are never too old for Jesus to write a new chapter with your life.
Amen.
I want him to finish the chapter he's working on right now, and I want to enter into every chapter that he wants to write with my life, and I especially want him to finish my last chapter.
Amen.
I just want to warn you, it's not automatic that he writes your whole story. You can go to heaven. You can have your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can have an eternal inheritance and have entire chapters of your story that Jesus wanted to give you absent from your story. We have to enter into it. We have to cooperate with him. We have to partner with him. I like the language of Philippians 3:12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I pray press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. So Jesus lays hold of you to write a story with your life, but now you have to lay hold of that thing too in order for the story to be complete.